Today's scripture is from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 18, through chapter 9, verse 1. And in your pew Bibles, if you want to look there, it's on pages 666 and 667. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. The word of the Lord.
Our good news reading is from Luke 16, verse 10 to 13. If you are able, please stand. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with a dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Diana Hunt zipped up here and left me a note. Next week is Noisy Sunday. We should have given you a heads up on that. Find your coins, mint your coins, whatever you do. Bring yourself into line with preparation to be fleeced. I mean, the offerer. Up your offerings. And I've been in ministry for a couple years now. I don't want to count how many, actually. But in the course of being in ministry, I have hay fever. No, that's not what I meant. In the course of being in ministry, I've had the opportunity to type United Methodist Church many times, and somehow my fingers haven't always learned it properly, and instead of typing United, it ends up typing untied. Hang on. Untied instead of United. And I always typed that and I thought, there I went again. It's a transfixed those two letters. The two index fingers got ahead of each other. But this sermon is about untied because people have continued to ask, what's the status for the church? We've been in the middle of a struggle. And there is talk of schism. And I haven't addressed that, and part of the reason is because there's still much to be known. There's still much that isn't known. But you deserve to know what we know. So I'm going to try and bring as much forward as I can here. When they voted in 2019 at a special conference over the issue of human sexuality, there were three options. Only two of them were noted. One is the traditional plan. It basically keeps our book of discipline the way it was, that said that gay and lesbian persons could not be ordained, and that we find homosexuality incompatible with the biblical teachings. And that was the ruling that's been in place since the 70s, and which has been challenged and has been worked around. We went to that conference proposing a one church plan. And the one church plan would have said, we don't all agree on this. And if your church decides that they want to do things one way, then as a church, you should be able to decide that, make that decision, and live into that. And we proposed that plan and sent it to the conference. And as they arrived at conference, there was actually an amendment to the traditional plan. I'm not sure what that slide means. Let me see in my notes here. We'll just go on. We believe that if one were to total the votes, 77% of United Methodists in the United States agreed with the one church plan. It made the most sense. It was harmonious. It said if you don't feel like they should be ordained, then your church should not be involved with that. If you do feel like, so it left it up to the individuals. However, the modified church plan was presented at that gathering, and it said not only that we will keep the original language, but we'll add penalties. If you do not obey, if you do not follow along, you will be asked to gracefully exit the church. The Catholics use the term excommunication. We have never, ever in the United Methodist Church had any such thing. But here was the possibility of that, and this plan passed. 438 to 384, 53% voted. Now you need to understand that some of that may have been legal and some of it wasn't. So it had to go to the judicial council. People asked us, what does it mean? Well, we weren't sure because the judicial council had to review that and say, is everything that was passed legal according to our constitution of the church? So they said it was. There were a few little things that weren't constitutional, but the majority of that plan passed. Right. So you need to be aware of the greater church. And we reviewed this before the conference. And you need to understand something. Here we are over here. See the USA? I know you can't read those numbers. Don't worry about it. But we are part of the worldwide United Methodist Church. There are 7 different central conferences. And there are the jurisdictions of the United States. And all voted at the same time, and out of that vote was what came, okay? There are 7 million of us in the U.S., and there are 5.7 in those central conferences. So the United States still outvotes the rest of the world, if you were going to be in a competitive viewpoint. But that breaks it down for you. But when you take 77% of the United States that voted for the One Church plan, and almost all of the central conferences voted for the modified traditional plan, that's where you got that vote of 53% in favor. So the modified traditional plan was voted in. So they said, now what are we going to do? What's going to happen next? We are a part of the Western jurisdiction. You see us up there? We're the Mountain Sky Conference. You can't read that probably from back there, but that's all right.
You know your United States map well enough to know how that breaks down. There are 5 of us. 5 conferences, 5 jurisdictions rather, and each of them governs over their area
effectively. Out of those, or after the plan passed, the modified traditional plan passed, 7 churches exited in Mississippi. All of them voted for the modified traditional plan. It passed, and they exited. I'm not sure what to make of that. But it's important to note that some churches have already exited the United Methodist Church over this issue. Okay. It reminds me of what we read this morning in Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah was talking about something very specific. He was talking about the pain of the people who had become idolatrous. For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? There's pain, there's grief, there's fear, there is much that is unsettled. And we need to acknowledge that, and we need to acknowledge that we are in the midst of a critical moment, if you will. The church split once before over the issue of slavery. The northern churches and the southern churches could not agree. And we split into the Methodist Episcopal Church North and the Methodist Episcopal Church South. Say that five times quickly. This morning we sang with the kids. What did you think of that song? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a lot of energy. And what a lot of fun. Dawn and I had been talking. We're going to have to, because we don't have an accompanist right at the moment, bring in things, video, music, and things like that. Did that work for everybody? How many of you were dancing out there? Got your cardio for the morning. But the words were important. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on the right set of everlasting arms. Hanging on and looking to God for that balm, for that healing that we need. Well, the Western jurisdiction, after everything had happened and people were saying, what now? We have a bishop who is a lesbian and who's married, and her wife's name is Robin Ridenour, and who is spirit-filled. She is doing ministries abundantly. And we have gay and lesbian pastors serving churches that know that their pastors are gay and lesbian and who accept them. What are we doing now? What happens next? And we have candidates for ministry, going into the ministry, who have been called by God to go and become ordained and are asking, do I want to continue into this church, or because I may be gay or lesbian, maybe I need to not join this church, and I may not be willing to discriminate against persons based on their sexual orientation. So there was much in the air, and so the Western jurisdiction said, we need to say something. First off, they said, we're not going anywhere. The idea, we'll split off, we'll form our own denomination, and from the bishops and from the leadership of the jurisdiction, they said, we are not going anywhere. We will not abide what happened, but we're not going anywhere. And we turn back to the Bible. And we turn back to the new commandment that came, that is central to who and what we're about. Love one another. The rest of the stuff, we can argue, and I kind of highlighted that this morning in the children's moment. The kids had it. The kids knew it right off. Who do we not include in God's company, in God's table? There are none. And we sometimes get caught trying to be the ones who make those decisions. I am glad I don't have to. I am not nearly smart enough. And I know a judge who is smart enough and knows all and can handle all of that. So that judging piece, I do get caught up judging sometimes. I confess to you, and I'm trying to get better at that. But it's taking time. Neo read the other scripture. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. So who are we serving? What will we be about? People have said, well, so where are we on this? We don't know. The jurisdiction said, well, we are working on plans and we're developing ideas. Wait and see. I've been telling you, I don't know, we have to wait and see. But we've waited and seen for a long time, and I want you to know where we are. The jurisdiction says we will not abide by what has been decreed. We will not excommunicate churches. We have in our church, in our conference, in our districts, we have churches that are on one side of this issue and other churches that are on the other side. And the bishop is appointing and filling and serving all of them. And we are determined to continue to do that. We will not abide by language that says we must bring charges and force them to make graceful exits. So the jurisdiction has said that much. Intriguingly, it's not just the Western jurisdiction. Of all of the jurisdictions, annual conferences in each of those jurisdictions have said, we will not abide. There are a number, 44% is one of the numbers I've heard that said, we will not abide by this ruling. What does that mean? We don't know. We don't know. But something different is happening. Something new is coming. Something is being born out of this. What does it mean to us? It's what's important here. Yes, we need to be aware of justice issues. Yes, we need to be aware of the greater church and the world around us and how we are called by Christ to serve this world around us. But we also need to back up and say, who are we at Burns Memorial, United Methodist Church? We're pretty straightforward. That was on the webpage. It's been up there for a while. You can't read it probably from back there. But there's some words over here. It says, open hearts, open minds, open doors. That's been our slogan for a long time. I've actually heard of some churches that are removing those words. And that's heartbreaking. But who we are and what we are is still who Burns is. We will continue to be the church that we are. We will continue to do the ministries that we do. Deb Gunther will continue with Crop Walk and with those different things that come to us. Don will continue to lead choir and we will try and find meaningful, worshipful music. All of us working together will continue to do the ministry that is the United Methodist Church at Burns Methodist. So how does it impact us? Not so much right here and now. But it calls us to ask some questions about inclusiveness and diversity. And this church is one of the most diverse and inclusive in our conference. And we can celebrate that. Let's just celebrate that. We are inclusive, diverse, welcoming. And those are the right things for the body of Christ. So not knowing is unsettling. Not knowing what will come is unsettling. But I have a hint for you what we can do. We can lean on those everlasting arms. We can lean on the arms of the one and trust and obey and do those things that make this the church it is and that it is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right.